Faith makes us whole and free. Jesus invites us to the spiritual liberty that sets us free from the law of sin and death and makes us whole. Cheryl brought out with the children in the message, in the children's message, in this passage of Scripture, one person was healed from a disease and the other was raised from the dead. And through all of that, all of the people came to a little bit a new understanding of what it meant to have faith in God through Christ. Faith is at the center of our whole religious belief, isn't it? I mean, that's what we're about, having faith in God. In the 1 Corinthians 13, we often lift up the word love because that passage is all about love, but it ends with a verse that says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. But faith is and hope are a part of that threesome there that's inseparable. They all go hand in hand. Faith is an essential part of being able to have the hope that we have in Christ and the love that we have for one another. Clear back before John Wesley's Aldersgate experience, he had a faith struggle where he felt like he might have to just quit preaching because he just didn't feel like he had enough faith. And a friend of his who was a Moravian, Peter Bowler, told him, preach faith until you have faith, and then preach faith because you have faith. And that was a saying then that's been passed down in Methodism from that day to this. As we continue to lift up the principles of faith and the importance of faith, and we practice what faith we have, we put it to use. Even if it's just a little tiny bit, like a grain of mustard seed, we still put that to use somewhere and watch it grow and build on that. Faith is a gift. It's not something that we can manufacture for ourselves or that we can sit down and conjure up. We can't just start thinking, I'd like to have more faith and just keep build that within ourselves. But it is a gift from God. And we receive that as we open our hearts and minds to receive that and the other gifts that God gives us in Christ. So when the disciples would ask Christ in the Bible to increase their faith, then he would tell them some kind of an example, like the mustard seed, or like other stories that he would tell that would increase their faith just by thinking about it and just by opening themselves to receive more faith. We speak often some of the treasury of faith, or that accumulation of all the saints that have gone on before us, our family and friends and the faith that they have had, and our each other in us room today, and family and friends that believe in Christ around the world, wherever they may be. And Christ himself, his faith. When we want to step out on faith, then we don't just step out on our own personal faith, but on the faith that is in Christ, his faith, your faith. We lean on each other. And that's what faith sharing is about too, is that we're not just telling other people what to think, but we're actually sharing the faith and confidence that we have in God with each other, with the people around us, so that everybody can lean on that and have confidence in Christ and step out on faith and leave on that. And faith is the source of the way that we are able to work and to live out our Christian faith. And it's also the goal that we have. is that we would have more faith and our faith would be complete. With this week, with the celebration of the Independence, and this being Independence Sunday, we lift up also the concept that the Bible gives us, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Our faith in Christ gives us freedom, a spiritual freedom that transcends all the other freedoms that we celebrate and that we can have from the world, a spiritual freedom that rises above it all and makes these other freedoms possible. We have confidence in God, and with our confidence in God, then we are able to live out the other aspects of our lives because of the faith that we have in Christ. My first church that I preached at in 1970, I had two churches, Mount Pleasant and Rehoboth, outside of Muncie, Indiana. And one of the services, I took 10 wheel covers and I laid them out around the sanctuary, and I had the people to walk around anywhere in the sanctuary that they wanted without stepping on one of those wheel covers. And I haven't ever done that again since, because then the goals were very big to do that. That was a long time ago. I was a young man. I had a lot to learn. Now I'm an older man. I still have a lot to learn, but I learned that one right off. So that didn't go over too good, but it did make an impression on me that the Ten Commandments are 10 easy lessons to freedom, that the commandments of God are there so that like those wheel covers, that we could walk any place that we want as long as we don't step on those. And when we transgress those, then we're stuck and bound to that law and all the repercussions that come with it. And so what God is giving us in the Scriptures is guidance to where that we can go freely, like we sing in that one song, you know, where we can go and be free to serve and free to love and free to live our lives and to do all the things that God has blessed us to be able to do, except step on those commandments. And the commandment that Christ then gave us is this, that sums it all up, to love one another as Christ has loved us. And in so doing, we have the freedom to do anything and everything that does not transgress on that commandment. So it's a freedom of discovery and exploration. One of the things that I value about our faith heritage is the free inquiry into the Scripture, where that we're encouraged, each one, to discover what God is saying to us in the Scriptures, and to be able to have enough confidence in God to allow that freedom to each other as well. To be able to read the Scripture, hear what God is saying, come to our understandings, share those understandings with one another, and let them be as varied and different as we are as individuals, rather than having people tell us what we have to think and us having to tell other people what they should think. And that extends into every facet of our life, really. When we believe in God and have faith and confidence in Him, we have levels and types of freedom that would be unavailable otherwise. And whenever we do have to feel like that, we need to give up our freedom or take somebody else's from them, it betrays a lack of faith in God. Our faith in Christ sets us free. That's what Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In the Bible, the most dominant story in the Scripture is the one of the Exodus. It dominates everything about the Bible, doesn't it? And clear into the New Testament and the sacrament that we celebrate here in a momentarily. As the children of Israel were freed from bondage of Egypt as slaves there, and set out on their course to the promised land and all that they encountered there. Even John 3:16 that we quote all the time as being so central to the gospel of Christ is based on one of the stories coming out of that Exodus, where the people were looking up to the pole that Moses had set, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Passover that Jesus instituted into being also for us, the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ given for us at Calvary. And all of this has to do with then, as the New Testament unfolds and these New Testament authors began to make those connections between the teachings of Christ and the Exodus, they began to tell us how, in the same way that the people were set free from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, so we today in Christ by faith are set free from the bondage to the law of sin and death. I'd like to just for us to think about wholeness this morning, because this is what stands out the most in this passage of Scripture, and something that we need not only for ourselves but to extend to one another, the healing that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. This passage of Scripture tells two types of healing that took place in the way that we would hope healings would take place. When we pray for somebody to be healed, we hope that they would be able, like this woman that had the lingering illness, the plague as it's said, that they would be instantly healed, don't we? When I pray for somebody to be healed and I lay hands on them or anoint them with oil and then I pray for them, I wish that right then and there they would be made whole, don't you? And so, really, there are a lot of testimonies about that happening. But it doesn't really happen most of the time, either, does it? So we know that it can and that it does from the testimony of people whose testimony we believe is true. How about we say then with Christ at Calvary, as he was facing Calvary in the garden, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." In that is a kind of faith that trusts the healing to God, that trusts to him the kind of healing that will take place, and lets it be in his hands. In James chapter 5, the Bible tells us that the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and God shall raise him up. And so we claim that promise, and we need then by faith to claim that promise and believe that God is healing, even if it's in a way that we don't see, or that he may be doing healing in ways that we don't understand, and trust God with the form that the healing takes, how it is shaped, and the means by which it comes. The other healing that took place in this passage was a person that had died. And there are several instances of those in the Gospels, as this one is one. And the famous one about Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days and was resurrected. The widow's son at Nain, who was raised up during the procession. And there are some other stories in the Bible too about resurrection. Certainly the most central one that we celebrate, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Each of these other people besides Christ has also laid aside their earthly tabernacle, once again returned their spirit to God who gave it. But in Christ and in the resurrection, we see the ultimate form of healing that we all look towards, when that we will be raised up with all infirmities laid aside, all limitations laid aside, every uncertainty laid aside, and we will be completely whole in our faith, in our hope, and in our love. This points us to the kind of healing that God has for us in each and every one in this moment. And we see it in this passage. We give it another look. We see it in ourselves when we look at this as a spiritual mirror. And that is the wholeness of being in harmony with God and with each other and with all of creation. That harmony begins with reconciliation. That's why the heart of the gospel is the forgiveness of sins. Our wholeness begins when we accept forgiveness for our sins and extend then to the people around us the same forgiveness that we have received from Christ as openly and freely as we've received it. That is the beginning of healing and wholeness and harmony. It leads to us coming as the people of God were on the day of Pentecost in one accord. In one accord. Not necessarily of one belief in everything. Not necessarily they liked all the same things or enjoyed the same flavors of ice cream. But that they were in a sense of harmony that was like musical chords. Different notes, but one chord, one melody, one harmony that was put together. God invites us to that type of healing, where our thoughts and our feelings within ourselves are in harmony, with God are in harmony, with our neighbor, with the people around us, and to bring other people into that sense of harmony and unity. And we can't do that really without faith, without confidence in God. We cannot have that kind of healing in our lives. But by faith, we can extend the love and the teachings of Christ to each and every person that we encounter in some way. And with that goal of bringing all people into the unity of the Holy Spirit. So today we're invited through this passage to emphasize the faith that leads to freedom and makes us whole. There's an old song that says, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, marvelous victory that overcomes the world. Amen.